Welcome to Season 2 of SharePint, as we continue to tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
Today I'm talking with Stephen and Devin Pete from Kettle Rock Brewing. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
You're welcome. We're glad to be here.
Glad to be here, for sure.
Well, you opened in May of 2021, so tell us about the journey, the story behind your name, and the theme you chose.
So we'll start with the beginning was home brewing. So my two older brothers, Dad's two oldest sons, they have been home brewing for a decade. We started out in our grandparents' basement during college. Mm-hmm. You can expect that there were college reasons to want to home brew, but the real driving factor there, kind of like cooking, there's an art and a science to brewing and to home brewing, of course. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, the scientific part where we're counting yeast back there. We're trying to get exact measurements of everything, and every little detail does affect the end result. But there's also that art aspect where once you have the beer in your hand and you taste it, you always want to make it better that next time. So then you have to think, okay, what gave it this flavor? What flavor might complement that? How can I take this other beer that I've had that's commercial mm-hmm. and make something like it or something better than it or different in some way? Mm-hmm. So that combination of art and science really appealed to all of us. And it was a lot of fun to do some mad science experiments, as it kind of felt like in the basement. And so we that was just something we were doing on the side. It was a lot of fun to do, mm-hmm. but it was, you know, a weekend thing that we go clean all the kegs and run everything through again and make another batch. And as you'd expect, when you make things at keg scales, it's actually kind of hard to drink that with two or three or four people before you start saying, hey, this doesn't taste as good as we want it to. Mm. So then we had extra. Mm-hmm. To some degree, and so we started bringing it to parties.
Okay.
You know, we'd have a graduation, and the Beard Cave Grapefruit IPA would be on tap along with some commercial options as well.
So the Beard Cave is where they lived in their grandmother's basement.
That was their homebrew label.
The nice. Man Cave
nice.
Became the Beard Cave okay. and all that. Mm-hmm.
And so we would have the grapefruit IPA on tap. And there were a couple different options that we really liked that kept coming back. And of course, we got feedback and everybody was like, man, this is great. And as they'd go to another graduation, because there are four of us, so mm-hmm. there were a lot of opportunities to have parties and other different things, we started getting requests. So it wasn't just, hey, this beer is great. It was, hey, is this beer going to be at the party? Because I want it. And, you know, even then, it still sounds like it's just your friends talking. And so it was when we had the opportunity to bring it to the homebrew club mm-hmm. that we started in Peachtree Corners, we got more options to have, we'll say, not less friendly, but what am I looking for?
I was going to say, let's go back and say that the three of us, my two oldest sons and myself, were founding members of the homebrew club. We didn't found it, but we were a part of the founding members. Mm-hmm. And that was over 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And many homebrew clubs, along, I think, kind of what you're searching for, many homebrew clubs are bottle shares. You know, here's what I brewed, here's what you brewed. Mm-hmm. We actually have a style that we brew to each month. At PCMashers.com is the website. We post what the style is. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys will brew to that style, and then we'll compare notes.
Right.
Like along the lines of the BJCP, the Beer Judge Certification yep. Program, guidelines and judging, mm-hmm. and talk about how it looks and how it smells and how it tastes, obviously, the mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. Well, your beer didn't quite, you know, I have some off flavors or whatever. Maybe you should try mashing at a different temperature. Everybody was getting better. Mm-hmm. Everybody was getting better to the point where, first off, Sterling was my oldest, and he's hesitant to put his beer in contest. Finally did 2 years ago. His homebrew version of our, which is now our South Lawn, was second place in the Suwannee Homebrew Fest. Yeah. Our homebrew club was first place. We only have about 15 guys, but enough submitted beers and medaled. Mm-hmm. to be the first place homebrew club. And that's a testament that everybody's trying to get everybody's beer better. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the moments where it really turned the corner in saying, hey, maybe we could do this commercially. Maybe this could be something that we could turn into a professional endeavor.
Professional, but Kettle Rock is community based. Our vision is for this to be a tap room for the community to come to, to hang out, to have a good time, play games. There was three card games going on the other night at different tables. We had nothing to do with it. They brought their games. Yesterday, a friend of ours came in and they had a board game they were playing.
And that's sort of its own story, then I'll have to be the one to tell it. So my parents have been here for almost 30 years, which has been my entire life. And my parents have absolutely been active in the community the whole time, which is what came through in that ethos of being a community-minded tap room. So we'll have people come up and say, hey, Steven, you were the guy who was the DJ at the swim and tennis swim team matches, right? Yeah, that was me. That was, and you know, it wasn't something that they said, oh, Steven, you have to do this. You're one of the people.
Right.
But it was one of those things that he volunteered to do, and that pattern kind of repeated itself. And sometimes you volunteer to be the assistant Cub Master, and then you turn into being the Cub Master. And that's how it goes sometimes. But it has always been about community and about being out with people and working with your neighbors to build something. And so Kettle Rock has absolutely been about that as well.
Absolutely. That's where we're at. So you asked about the story behind Kettle Rock. There's over 8,000 breweries, microbreweries in the United States now. So if I want to be the red brewery, the blue house brewery, that's taken.
Right.
I want to be the Bear Track brewery, that's taken. You can look at all these different names, and we went over 100 different names amongst our family, talking about, you know, what about this one, what about that one.
Right.
And we were coming back from a vacation, and we saw Kettle Rock and said, maybe that's it. And we were able to convince everybody to rally around that name. Kettle Rock is actually a mountain in North Carolina. And so we took that. Then Kettle Rock is actually also a geological formation where a glacier carves a bowl, a kettle, into the rock. And it's Kettle Rock.
Okay.
So our beer is brewed in kettles, and it's going to rock your taste buds. That is my tagline to go with that.
Okay. That's good.
Kettle Rock Mountain was actually, according to the lore, there's a stream nearby, a trail went by the stream, and there was a rock overhang, and someone left a kettle there. So as you're hiking along the trail, you can take the kettle, dip it in the stream, get a little bit of water, and you have the kettle, the rock, and then the mountain. So that's where the name for the mountain came from.
Right. Right. You clearly carried it over into the theme. You know, we'll shoot this so our audience can see, but the tap room it's beautiful. I lived in northern Minnesota in the Midwest for a while, and so it kind of reminds me of that kind of warm feel of a Midwestern lodge, and so carrying that outdoor theme with your Kettle Rock name.
So all my boys are Eagle Scouts. Devin is an Eagle Scout. My daughter's a Girl Scout Gold Award. Okay. We've all been into hiking, the outdoors, all that stuff in North Georgia. North Carolina, the Appalachian Mountains. We've all seen bears on the trail, so that's where the bear comes in. It's all that outdoor feel kind of thing, the mountain lodge kind of feel, but we didn't want to be a real rustic mountain lodge. We want to have some modern aspect to it, and that's what we gave the architect, those ideas, and they came up with the layout, most of the design, and of course my wife and my daughter and others in the family have tweaked the design from the architects. We picked actually the stone for this, which amazingly enough and weirdly enough or coincidentally enough is called Appalachian. It all worked in together, and people come and they really enjoy the feel of this. In fact, early on someone came in to the area where we're sitting and said, is this by reservation only? First come, first serve.
Nice.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about the design process is at the beginning, we talked about branding. Mm-hmm. You know, Dad mentioned we went through 100 names, and it feels like it was more than that. The best way to start with that is, well, what do you guys care about as a family, as a plan for the business? What mm-hmm. is the business going to care about? And we talked through around lots of different adjectives. And we talked about, well, what do we want the design language to be like? Mm-hmm. What do we want it to look like? And you heard all the words that Dad used to describe. And one of the best parts to me is when someone comes in and uses one of the words we chose that was our guiding light mm-hmm. to describe it, because that means we did it exactly right.
And so one of the words, both words.
Well, one of the words is cozy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we'll have some people come in all the time, and they'll look around and say, "Man, this is really cozy." Mm-hmm. And every time I just get chills. It feels so good.
Yeah,
we did it. Yeah. You know, that's it's the best feeling.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm. And the second word.
So cozy is more of the feel of it, mm-hmm. but rustic luxury, I think, is kind of, or modern, which?
Rustic luxury.
Yeah. Is a word that people come in and say that, and it's like, oh, that's right on the design docs.
Yeah, nice. Well, your beer names are based off your outdoor theme, so walk us through those.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that was a great idea.
And I won't take all the credit. Taylor, one of the older brothers, also he actually came up with most of the idea, and I helped with execution. But we took that a trail that goes up to Kettle Rock Mountain, and we took that whole picture from Google Maps, and then we broke it up into little pieces, and that's what we showed. So you started at the parking lot, and then you got to the trailhead and had trailhead, went up each different step of that mountain path, and we talked about a different beer. And as you said, all of them relate some way to the outdoors. So our sour is variable conditions.
Okay.
And when you think about it, we're talking about, oh, you might have a pop-up storm that you're not expecting. There might be more undergrowth than you expected to be there. Those are the variable conditions.
Mm-hmm. You might run into the bear, not just see the bear tracks.
Exactly.
Which was one of our beers.
Uh-huh. And so you went all the way up. You ended at the top with the mountain house. And then the last picture was the full...
A mountain house milk stout.
The full trail going all the way up. So it was a really cool metaphor for how the beers all fit in.
That's great. That's great. Well, that's your end point. I am drinking the trailhead, so
I've
of course started on an end point.
That's beginning to end. There
absolutely.
You go.
That's absolutely. That's great. It's great, again, when you can establish a brand that means so much to you that it develops and grows over time, and it's not just one of those things where, all right, we had some short vision of it would be these things, and then you're like, well, wow, we've worn out all the outdoor-themed beer names we could think of, and now what are we going to do? But clearly you guys have really thought about this, and I can see how it's growing, and there's so many things that can change, so that's exciting.
Yeah. And it's a fun process every time. You know, we have to do the work every time to come up with a new name for whatever's coming out, and mm-hmm. it always feels like a frenzy, and then when we pick it, we're like, oh yeah, that was perfect. But, you know, of course it was that.
After our grand opening, we've had a couple beers, and one of them is Off the Grid. Because it's 9.9% ABV, so that Imperial Stout is off the grid.
Off the grid.
Another really natural one that came to us was Tripping Hazard. It's a Belgian triple, and so obviously there's lots of triple puns out there that we were thinking of, and we were, you know, stuck on it a little bit, and then we were like, this is also 9.5%.
Yeah.
And the other thing, that, as a kind of an aside, one of the hallmarks of Sterling's beers, his style, is that they're very clean to me. Mm-hmm. They're very easy to drink. I don't get a lot of alcohol taste, even in the high gravity beers. And that's somewhat unusual. Sometimes you'll go get anywhere, you know, your 9 to 15% beers, and the back half of it is all alcohol taste. And that's I don't like that personally. So I do really appreciate his approach. And so if you have a 9.5% beer that doesn't taste a lot like alcohol, you can turn that into a Tripping Hazard very quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So again, once we pick it each time, it just, of course, that was it. That it was just waiting to be discovered.
Yeah, No, that's great. It makes me think of one of our past guests, Mark Osborne at Adroit Theory up in Virginia, and every single one of their triple IPAs, you know, 10, 11%, doesn't drink like it at all.
Right.
Drink so dangerously because you're drinking it at like 6.5%, and you're like, well, I got to remember, this is a high ABV beer.
And then sip it. Need to sip it.
Yeah. But you don't have to because you don't taste any of that. Like you're
exactly.
saying, you don't taste any of the booziness. You know, you taste a lot of, you know, fruit flavors and nice hop profiles and things.
Right.
And you're like, this is just a smooth, easy drinking beer. And you know, get towards the end of it and you're like, hey, wait, I got to be careful.
Exactly.
I've always got to open a second or third of these and they're 10%.
Maybe I should take these home and I can drink them there.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, one of the beers that we didn't mention is the honey ale that you have. Called South Lawn, and that has a really interesting story behind that. So share that with our audience.
So that was actually fun. That was one of our 4th of July offerings. We had two offerings. I'm going to back up and give you the second one first, and that's we do flights,
mm-hmm.
and we had our Freedom Flight, red, white, and blue seltzers. We were talking with the variable conditions that we actually do flavorings in them,
mm-hmm.
and we have a hard seltzer that we do flavorings. So for that one, we did strawberry, peach, and blue raspberry, red, white, and blue, and your choice of your 4th.
Oh.
So that was kind of fun for the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
and apparently peach was very popular because
here in Georgia, of course.
we're out of peach now,
yeah.
And then we also had Sterling decided to have a presidential beer. What do you mean a presidential beer? Well, I heard about this honey ale, and if you go to Wikipedia, you can read the entire story. It talks about President Obama went and bought a homebrew kit with
his own money. Gotta get that in.
Brought it back to the White House, and I don't know why he didn't think he had 4 to 6 hours to do his own homebrew, but he decided that he didn't really have that much time. He went to the White House chef and said, I'd like you to brew this beer and use the honey from the first beehive on the South Lawn at the White House.
Okay.
So that sounded cool, except, and of course the White House chef is gonna say, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And then say to himself, I don't know how to make
beer.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go to the local Capital Homebrew Club and find out how to do this. Came up with the recipe and did it. And our beer is similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's using almost the same recipe, but the recipe that's published, which is another story I'll get to in a second, uses the malt syrup, which is typical for homebrewers.
Mm-hmm.
But we do an all-grain version of it, so ours is slightly different in that ours is the more typical professional all-grain version of that.
Right.
And it's been very popular, and I mentioned the recipe. It's kind of funny because a couple of homebrewers said, oh, I want to get the recipe of this honey ale.
Mm-hmm.
He served it at several functions,
mm.
and it was a homebrewer in California, homebrewer in Texas, which, oh, by the way, they were lawyers, so they couldn't just ask. They had to file for the Freedom of Information Act so it would get released in a public domain, and that's the recipe that's published. So it was kind of a fun story.
Absolutely.
Great, and I had it when we first came and started talking, and it's a nice honey ale. It's not necessarily something you always see on a menu somewhere. It's a different profile than maybe people are used to when they come into a tap room, and got a really cool story behind it.
And it's been very popular with it. I mean, it's been very popular.
Yep. Well, we've kind of alluded to it and talked a little bit about the fact that Kettle Rock really is a family affair. So talk a little bit about what everyone's role is and then what it's like to work with your family every day.
Oh, now that's hard. I mean, hard to tell the story, not hard to work with a family. So it started with Sterling and I talking about this, and then we talked with the rest of the family, and Diana, especially because it's my wife Diana, especially because this is everybody working together. We're a close family.
Mm-hmm.
Even our extended family is close. And then we assimilate others who work with us, and they become almost adopted. So it's my wife and I, and we vote, and the 4 kids, and I'll get to that in a second. We all voted. She's the CEO. I'm merely the CFO. But I have experience doing construction and budgets and stuff like that, so that was a good fit, especially when we're doing the development and the construction of the space. Then there's the four kids, and the obvious part is you need to have a brewer. Well, as we've already talked about, Sterling and Taylor had been homebrewing for 10 years now, so they're the obvious ones, and Sterling is the one that's the real science and artsy guy. He's the head brewer. Taylor helps a lot with the brewing, so he's kind of one of the assistant brewers. Krista has actually jumped on.
And also head of production.
And he's the head of production in the back house and all that sort of stuff. And Krista has been doing a lot of the assistant brewing as well. She's very much into the cooking side of this, or I'll say more the artsy side of it. So that's how come she's involved in that. Devin is mostly doing the marketing, and I guess he'll tell you everything else that he does. But Taylor helps with marketing, Krista helps with marketing, Mom,
it's,
Diana.
It's always a hard question when you ask who's doing what. We're all doing everything, you know.
Sure.
We had the bottle yesterday to send it out to GABF, the Great American Beer Festival,
right,
for competition. And so we needed to do it in the cooler, and Taylor and I and Mom all hopped in the cooler and started labeling and filling bottles. It's a back of house thing that has nothing to do with marketing, but that's what you do when you're in a family. You,
and
you
she
help
went
each
home
other
to go
out.
Buy go bring some jackets over because they're sitting in the cooler. And,
yep, it was a whole adventure. So
everybody was involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except me. I was just catching
to everybody.
I was catching the packaging as it was arriving, the stuff that we needed to put the bottles in to get ready to ship. So.
Yep.
Where can people find you online? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, social media, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're on Facebook and Instagram, and you can just search Kettle Rock Brewing, and it's the first hit. We also, of course, have a website, kettlerockbrewing.com, and on the front page, you can sign up for our mailing list. Our mailing list has been super active and has gotten lots of great responses, so that's also a great place to get lots of information.
Great. We'll put that on our website at sharepintpodcast.com. We've learned about Kettle Rock. Let's get to know you both a little bit better. We've got a segment called Straight from the Tap. It's a series of 7 rapid-fire questions. You can expand on them if you want. Otherwise, we'll just fire away. So if you guys are up for it.
Here we go. Here
let's
we
do
go.
It.
All right. What's your favorite style of beer?
Favorite style of beer is a sour for sure.
Okay.
For me, it's the Wee Heavy. And I swear, even though that almost two beer barrels went into the whiskey barrel over there, and it was a 5-barrel batch, that leaves 3. I swear I wasn't the only one drinking it, and we're out. So there is a second batch, a 10-barrel batch this time, over in the fermenters right now, getting ready.
Nice. What style do you wish more people appreciated, drank, or brewed?
I am going to have to say sour again. It's to me, for a lot of people, it's more on the malt, feels like it's more on the malt beverage side, so a lot of people discount it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it tastes like I like thinking of it as professional warhead tasting.
Okay.
And sometimes you get too far, sometimes you get not far enough. It's like a quest to find the perfect amount of sour for you. And it's funny, I use Untappd, which is a social media for beer, and I have the 4 to 5 ranges for that perfect sour for me, and I only have a few that have made it quite up there.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's like truffle hunting of trying to find that perfect amount for you.
Yeah.
So for me, we've already mentioned in our social media that we do European-style beers. Now, right now, we've got some English, some Belgian. We will have some German beers.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's the better ones, the German beers. Or I shouldn't say better. The ones that I really like, the Dunkels, the Fest beer, the Oktoberfest beers.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, Oktoberfest is canceled again this year.
Yep.
But we're going to have a Fest beer for that time frame.
Good. Sounds great. Okay. Who are one or two of your biggest influences?
From a beer point of view?
However you want to.
Charlie Papazian, and I have a picture with him from the craft beer conference 2 years ago.
Okay. Devin?
I'm going to take the easy way out and say my parents. especially because
good way to stay in the family.
Exactly. I mean, it's absolutely true. Like we talked a little bit earlier about how our family's close, and it's because of my parents and how they were invested in our lives as we grew up. I mentioned that Dad didn't sign up to be part of the swim team because no one was there. We were there, and he said, "Okay, how can I be there and be a part of this and make it better for my kids?"
And he did that. And make it more fun for everyone.
For everyone. And so, you know, he helped build a community at every sport or after school function or community thing that I and the rest of the kids did. And so that has definitely shaped how I approach my community building in my life.
Okay, great. Well, you know, you've only been open about 10 weeks or so, so this might be a little tougher. Who would you most like to do a collab with?
Actually, Two Tides is one of the ones that I'd like to do. They're down in Savannah, and they do a lot of the different unique fruit, sour, different kinds of beers. I'd like to work with them, or maybe Cherry Street.
Was just at Cherry Street the other day, got to talk with Rob. He was great, walked over the table, told us a lot about the history of what was going on there. And
I guess Nick wasn't there, because Nick Tanner is the founder of Cherry Street, and he's been, I've talked with him a few times, so I'd like to do a collab with him as well.
Nice. Devin?
Yeah, there are so many great breweries nearby, it's hard to choose.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised you didn't say From the Earth. We love them. Tim over there has been our mentor forever, and he's been awesome for us.
Great, but we already brewed with him.
Well, true. That's true.
He helped us out in that way. Said so, if you're going from home brewing to professional, you need to brew in a professional. Just come over and brew with Brian.
Yeah.
So we've done that three times.
So I'll go a little bit farther out of the state of Georgia. And I'd love to brew with Edmunds Oast in Charleston.
Ah, there you go.
They have,
that's a good one.
Again, one of my favorite sours of all time, and they really nailed that. But everything they make is awesome, and so I'd love to work with them. They do awesome stuff.
Awesome. Well, you had mentioned Brian at From the Earth, and again, we were over there as well during my little tour down here in Georgia, and food was fantastic, but Brian actually came over the table to talk with us a little bit as well and visit, so nice guy. Couldn't have more nice things to say about you guys. There's an established relationship there, so that's
absolutely
very cool.
Absolutely. Brian and Tim. Tim is the owner. He's been awesome helping us out, and Brian has worked with us, and it's a great relationship.
Sounds great. Most memorable place you've ever had a beer?
Oh, wow.
So my sister and older brother, Taylor and Krista, the three of us do this activity called high pointing.
Okay.
And the goal is to go to the highest point in every state. Some of them are very easy. If you go to Florida, you drive a little bit up a hill, and then right on the other side, there's a plaque that says this is the highest point in Georgia, and you're there, done. Very easy.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are very hard ones like Denali, which is a 3 to 4 week trek. So that one will take a little bit more planning than the rest. But we have done several trips where we'll take a week off of work and we'll go to a bunch of them. So we did one where we started in Ohio, went all the way up through Michigan and over to North and South Dakota, and then all the way back to here. And so while we're doing that, we'll go to different awesome breweries along the way and then take a beer to have at the top of whatever state we're going to that time. So those have been pretty unique places to have a beer at the top.
That's awesome. Steven?
I guess I'm going to go with Whiteside Brewing Company in Cashers, North Carolina. We ended up up there, bought a Christmas tree nearby, stopped there, and the idea as to how we're doing our logo on the rock wall came from there, basically. They had their logo on a paneled wall, and it was backlit, and it was red, and it was awesome looking because it's backlit with the LEDs and stuff. And I took a picture, and I came back to the table, and I said, "Isn't this awesome? Look at that. It's great because it's red and it's backlit." And I said, "No, it's blue." And I said, "No, I have a picture right here. It's red and it's backlit." And I turn around and look, and it's blue. And a minute later, it turned yellow. And it was like, that's so cool.
That's cool too.
We need to do something like that. So we actually did a half scale in foam board of this logo and put some LEDs on it, put it over the rock, to look and see if we still liked it. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of Sterling's made that, literally made that out of sheet metal. And then we put some LEDs on the back of it and put it on it and said, we still like it. And then they put the LEDs on it. It took like an hour per letter to hand solder and wire the LEDs for that. And it's awesome because it looks now white. For the 4th of July, we had red, white, and blue, and for Memorial Day. And then everybody has a full-time job other than me, in a sense, because this is my full-time job. I retired a year ago. So everybody else has their full-time job. Krista's is at State Farm. A group from State Farm came over last week, and I said, oh, I can do this. And I got my phone, and I made the logo red. And I said, what are the colors for State Farm? And he said, red and khaki. And I said, look at the logo. Cool, it's red. And then Devin goes, I can do this. And he made the logo red and the lettering khaki.
Oh.
So... So I have to say Whiteside. Their beer was good too. The beer was good there too.
Great. Okay. All right. What person, living or dead, would you most like to share a pint with, and what would it be a pint of?
Oh my goodness.
I would meet up with George Washington and have our honey ale and tell him that this is the presidential beer of the future.
Cool.
And get his opinion on that.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. I would really like, he's still living, Charlie. I've read Charlie Papazian's book. He is the father of homebrewing in the United States. And I won't go down the whole path of homebrewing. It was illegal in the U.S. after Prohibition until 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And he started, Charlie Papazian started the American Homebrewers Association as soon as it became legal.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I've met him, I read the book, and he talks about a maple syrup beer, or a beer with maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that a Canadian beer?
No. It is not Canadian. And he has in that paragraph that if you come up with a good one, I'd like to share it with you. So I'd like to share it with him.
Nice.
Well,
and we've done one.
Mom spent some time in Canada, so she can claim that she has some experience with maple syrup. The good stuff.
Now you're going to challenge the family here, because first off, my grandfather made maple syrup.
Well, yeah, I'm saying we've got experience.
My dad's dad.
On both sides.
And my mom's dad made maple syrup, and I've helped. I've gone and gathered the sap from the trees and brought it.
So look out for a honey ale. Except now it's a maple ale recipe. We'll have to work on that.
Put it in a stout, put it in a porter, put it in a darker beer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be coming.
All right. Sounds good. All right, last one. When COVID is over and travel is safe again, where are you most looking forward to drinking a beer?
I want to go back to Munich. I really enjoyed Munich. Obviously, there's a lot of beer choices around there as well. Definitely go back to Munich.
Well, we have a lot of places that we need to still high point, most of them on the western part of the United States. Colorado and Seattle and Portland are all locations I would love to go have a beer and climb a mountain.
But that's going to be so challenging, because in Colorado, how do you pick which one? In Seattle, how do you pick which one? In Portland,
I know.
How can you possibly pick which one?
You'll have to go for several weeks at least.
Yeah, well, you go and you visit a lot of breweries and things,
but you take
a Kettle Rock beer to have in that state
there
at its highest point, and
there
then you have Kettle Rock on the road, you know, its own little trail.
That's true.
Absolutely. No, that's great. Well, shifting back to the brewery, what can we expect from Kettle Rock in the coming months as far as events, collaborations, new beer releases?
Yeah, we've got a lot of things planned. We mentioned earlier the barrel-aged beers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be, in the next couple months, will be ready, and they're going to be awesome. We mentioned the Wee Heavy that has already sold out. It was so popular.
Mm-hmm.
So two of those are the Wee Heavy that is being barrel-aged. So I expect that to sell like gangbusters. It's just awesome. I know it's going to be awesome. So that's the beer in barrels. We've also got a whole bunch of beers that are in tanks getting ready to be sold. We've got a New England IPA that's coming up. We've got a Belgian wit that's coming up. We've got to refill some of the things that are going really, really quick. So
that flow trip is, I've already seen flow trip is on the brew,
yep.
brew calendar. So
there's lots of things that need to come back because we didn't expect them to go so quick.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got lots of beers coming up in the next couple months as well. We're going to start canning. We've got our canning line that are, we actually did a fundraiser before we were open, and we had a group of people we called Trailblazers.
Obviously.
Nice.
For obvious reasons. They got different levels, just like a Kickstarter, and got different rewards and helped us buy this canning machine that we just recently got. So we'll be able to can our beer, and we already can sell you a growler or a crowler, but now we'll be able to sell six packs. So we expect that to do very well.
And with that, that'll lead into distribution. We do want to do distribution.
Okay.
But people are asking us, well, why haven't you done this or why haven't you done that? Well, the first thing we need to do is the beer.
Right.
Okay. And we only have so many people that can do that can put so much time into this.
Right.
So we're going one step at a time.
That's good because, again, we've talked to a lot of people. And if you don't have a growth plan, if you don't hold yourself back, if things go really well and get ahead of yourself, it can get ugly fast.
Exactly.
So, you know, hey, distribution is great, and it's nice to see that down the road. But we all know that the best margin is pouring a pint right here at the tap room.
Exactly.
And now as we're working our way out of COVID, clearly you want to get people in here to experience the coziness and this rustic luxury of the lodge that we have.
And to that point, we have a lot of events that are coming up as well. So we've already had several companies contact and do happy hours here.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this place filled with almost 100 people.
115.
There it is. For a happy hour after work. That was awesome. We have a surprise birthday party. In a couple weeks, we're doing a teacher back to school event that they're organizing. It's just going to be a blast. So we have all sorts of those different events.
There are several parties already on the thing. We've got a wedding, a pre-wedding party coming up. So
yeah, and then we're expanding what events we have in the tap room, and I won't say exactly what, but we're trying to figure out exactly what we want, what people want to have to come and have that community feeling, whether it's live music, whether it's trivia, lots of interesting ideas, and we'll be experimenting a lot over the next couple months.
Sounds great. Is there anything else you'd like our audience to know that we haven't covered?
Yeah, so one of the things that we touched on, but I just wanted to bring it up separately because it was kind of unique and interesting. Dad mentioned that we add flavoring to our beer, and it came about in a really interesting way. So we went to our local Peachtree Corners Festival.
Okay.
And for that, we didn't have a location yet. We were just kind of pre-advertising, and so we couldn't make beer. And there's all these other logistics about bringing beers to festivals anyway. So there were lots of hurdles that we couldn't do. And so we said, hey, what if instead of beer, we brought craft non-alcoholic soda?
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the locals farmer's market and bought pounds and pounds of ginger and rhubarb and lime and a couple different other fruits.
Krista bought the strawberry and the rhubarb and the ginger, and they pressed at a farmer's market. They'll freshly press the limes and lemons, and we'd add strawberry rhubarb, lavender lemon, and ginger lime.
And we got that all down to syrup and mixed it with carbonated water. It's carbonated soda water to make craft soda. And it was wildly popular. People really loved it.
You know it's popular when somebody has a sample, and we were only doing the sample cup, and they'd go on to the festival, and they'd come back with a friend and say, so I'd like to try this other one, and they want to try this one.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it went really well, and when we were opening, we were trying to figure out how to do something similar, and so we ended up getting Monin syrups. That's Starbucks uses them as well. And we had the idea, hey, we talked about using this for our seltzer. So our seltzer is sort of unflavored as is. It's neutral, I guess.
The
hard seltzer. And by getting a bunch of flavorings, instead of having 5 taps for different seltzers, we can have 1 tap and then add the different seltzers, the different flavors that you like. And we decided to also do that with our sour, which came out, again, pretty neutral, somewhat intentionally. And it's this awesome base. It's good by on its own. But when you add a flavor to it, you can kind of make it your own. It's a choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
The sour is named variable conditions, and that's the variable part of it. You can add whichever flavor that we have to it. And it's really funny. The other thing that I like about it is we get a lot of people coming in and saying, okay, well, what's the best flavor? Which one do you think is the best?
Ask 5 people here. We'll give you all 5,
five different answers. Yep.
Give you 5 different answers. Yeah. You know, I like wild berry. Taylor likes Hawaiian. Crystal likes the lychee. Mom likes the lavender. Everybody, it's what you like. And that's the thing that, to me, is the best about it, is it's not about what we think is the best thing for you to have. It's whatever you think you would like the most.
Right.
And we'll talk to folks about, you know, what is it that you might like in terms of any of the beers.
Right.
And, oh, well, let me give you a taste. If you're not sure, try it and see if you like it.
Yeah, but flavoring the kettle sour, very similar to traditional Berliner Weiss over in Germany, to add some syrup to it and all. And so, yeah, like you said, that's great to be able to customize and, you know, increase the amount of beers that you have on tap.
Exactly. And so it was kind of a wild idea. I don't know anybody else that does something like this. And so it was just kind of something that we wanted to test and see if people liked. And it has sold really well. So people are enjoying this idea of being able to take some control back of the creative process. You know, they're chefs as well, crafting the perfect drink. And even speaking of that, I won't say that this is on the secret menu, I guess. We've had some people say, hey, can you give me that trailhead and just put a little bit of the habanero lime in that?
Yeah.
I just want a little extra spiciness and kick.
Yep.
And you're like, sure. I mean,
it's a Blondale. Yeah. That's a good way to do it.
Exactly. You can be part of the art here. So it's a really awesome experience to be able to do this.
That's great.
So one of the things I'd like to throw out, it helped us with developing the business plan and all that sort of good stuff, is as we were going through and getting close to figuring this all out, Diana had seen the amazing entrepreneur contest in Gwinnett County that Partnership Gwinnett, which is a part of the Chamber of Commerce in Gwinnett County, was doing. And we were really busy doing our business plan and all these other things and didn't get to it. And she got an email, they've extended it 1 more week. Okay, now we're gonna do it. Okay, so we had 1 week to put together the business plan, which was answering their 10 questions, which, yeah, we had most of that in our business plan, but it helped us develop that a little further.
All of it. It was just organizing it differently and
put it in there,
being forced to fill it out. You know, we had a lot of it in our head, and now it's like, okay, we actually need the spreadsheet now.
Yeah.
And then they wanted a 3-year projection. There was 3 categories. There was if you've been open less than 2 years, if you're a business that's starting and hasn't started yet, hasn't opened yet, and then high school groups. And so we obviously entered that we hadn't opened yet.
Yep.
And we had a 3-year projection, put it into that. And then the last requirement was very interesting. You need to have a 90-second video. So if you go to our website, I think it's on Meet the Team.
The family, where you work your way through the house. I watched that the other night.
Exactly.
I thought it was very cool.
And so that was our 90-second video for that contest.
Yeah.
And digressing to that a second, Devin wrote the script, gave everybody their little lines.
Mm-hmm.
And in one evening, I mean, he came over and gave us the scripts. A friend came over with his iPhone and videotaped it with his iPhone walking through. And probably it took an hour and a half and however many takes it took.
Oh, it took so
Because you'd get
takes.
Halfway through and somebody would, it. What is it, the line again?
Yeah.
And kept going through and through. And that was, as you might guess, the last take.
Yep.
And said, that's it. So we submitted everything, and we were one of the 3 finalists, and then we got to do a presentation to their group, and we went over there, And at that time, we had eight of us working, eight of us in the family with spouses and all that. I mean, nine of us in the family with spouses and all that. And we were sitting there with four of us because we had our PowerPoint presentation and everybody, we had to figure out who was going to do which pages and all that stuff. And a guy comes out and says, Kettle Rock. And he's looking at this group going, okay, we're ready. And they said, well, we only need one. We brought less than half.
So we, family-owned business, yeah. We're all involved.
So he said, okay. We went in, did the presentation. Halfway through the presentation, I mentioned it. Tommy at the Small Business Development Group with University of Georgia, I'd worked with him. Oh, I know Tommy and such. He started asking questions like, and then I worked with Weir Gratwick, a banker and city council here in Peachtree Corner. I know Weir Gratwick, and did he do this? And they started at, we're supposed to have 10 minutes for the presentation, 5 minutes for questions. Mm-hmm. And they interrupted us in the middle, and it went for about 15 minutes. And at the end, we had our handcrafted sodas again that we gave them.
Right.
And we were probably there for like 25 minutes doing our presentation.
Nice.
And as it turned out, we won.
That's great.
So we got the amazing entrepreneur winners though for that.
Yep.
That was great.
That's cool. Well, remind everyone again where they can find Kettle Rock online.
So you can go to our website and join our mailing list at kettlerockbrewing.com, and then we're on Facebook and Instagram. Just search Kettle Rock.
Great. We'll put that on our website at sharepintpodcast.com. Well, Stephen, Devin, I want to thank you for your time today and for sharing a pint with me.
Cheers.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at sharepintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint and like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Share a Pint is now a proud member of the Hopped Up Network. Enjoy the show and like to contribute? Consider leaving a PayPal tip. You can do so at the PayPal button on our website at sharepintpodcast.com or search for us on PayPal at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin McLeod, and can be found online at incompetech.com. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at sharepintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Holla. Prost.